All right. Welcome to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr. And in front of me is my best friend in the world, Calvin McGowan. Calvin, go ahead and let the people hear your name.
I mean, you just did. Anyway, what's up, y'all? Calvin McGowan, it's always a pleasure to be here.
All right, guys. So we are going to be doing the Traveling Hoopers show a little bit different during the offseason because we ain't got nothing else to really like talk about. Like free agency is popping and whatnot. But in 2 weeks, at best, we're going to have summer league stuff to talk about. So we're going to gamify this show a little bit. In the first game that we're going to be playing this offseason is called Where Is He Now? Go ahead, clap, Calvin. I have the worst live studio audience ever. So in Where Is He Now? We're going to be throwing out different names of players. And then Calvin has to guess, where are they going to be playing this upcoming season? So we'll start off with a really simple one. It's not that simple. Calvin, where is Will Barton going?
Dang it.
Do, 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 do. I got the answer for you. He is going to the Washington Wizards.
That's probably wrong.
Yeah, so he was actually traded from Denver to Washington for Monte. Denver traded Will Barton and Monte Morris for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Ish Smith. Did not know if Ish Smith was still in the league.
You don't really do much, so.
He really does. He a bucket though. He really quick. I'm surprised he's still like he has to be like 36 at this point. Yeah. All right. So the next two up are teammates. We're talking about the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. Where are they now, Calvin?
They're both. Still on the Nets until further notice.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be like the most exciting move of the entire offseason. I also don't think this is going to happen during the offseason.
I don't think so either, because it's just like Durant wants to get moved and Kyrie wants to get moved, but like teams don't seem that interested in Kyrie and teams don't seem that interested in giving up all their good young players for a couple years of KD.
Yeah, and like I don't know if you've listened to like any podcasts from like people who cover the league. They seem like it is like a done deal that people want Kevin Durant at age 38. I mean, at age 34, who when his contract is over in 4 years, is going to be 38 years old. Like, I love Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is one of my favorite basketball players of all time. All-time great. He can do whatever he wants. One of the best scorers we've ever seen. After what I saw the Celtics do to him during the playoffs, I do not know what is going to happen unless you pair him with like another superstar. And when I mean superstar, I mean like upper tier level superstar where Kevin Durant can easily slide into being like the number two. Like, places that I'm hearing are Denver. Denver and Nikola Jokic and Kevin Durant together would be insane, but they would also have to gut that team of any, like, real talent that they would have. Like, Michael Porter Jr. probably has to go. Even though I think they have, like, some type of rule in his contract where you really can't let him go, and you probably got to trade Jamal Murray, who... Both players are, like, coming off injuries. So it's a little like we don't know what they're going to be right now.
Mm-hmm. And my understanding was that KD wanted to, like, only wanted to play on, like, only wanted to play on a team of, like, two other superstars or something.
Yeah.
Two stars, another all-star or something. And, yeah. Like, that limits what they can, what Brooklyn can do severely.
Yeah, and it's only like four teams. Like I almost feel like at this point it is a bit more of a gut check to like their front office to be like, hey, if you don't if you don't act right, we'll leave. And it's like, that's cool. You still under contract. Like I don't, like at the end of the day, I don't, as much as we talk about player empowerment, the true power is still with teams and organizations, unless you just want to sit out, and that's cool too. We'll just, well, not in the Nets case, we'll just get like a lottery pick for you sitting out. And like, it's a two-way street. We'll all look bad here. And is me personally, I don't care. I would sit on my hands and be like, that's cool. Especially if I'm like Joe Sauer, where I'm like, have like endless amounts of money. Like, I'll take the L.
That's fair. And like, as far as like the as far as like Kyrie though, also, like, he's not a dude who wins games by himself. And like, I get that, like, nobody, like, no one can really do it truly solo, right, in the most literal sense of it. But like, the teams, so like, his only ring is with LeBron, and the Celtics were better without him and have been better without him. Like, to be like, you know what, like it makes it hard for a lot, I feel like it makes it hard for a lot of like GMs and coaches to look at Kyrie and go, you know what, we're missing that guy.
I'm, if your offense is a little bit anemic, like if you have like a world-class defense, which most like mediocre teams do not, Kyrie's your dude. Like, if you got like a bunch of solid defenders, because at the end of the day, Kyrie is one of the better scoring options in the NBA right now. Like, one-on-one, you give him some space, put him on an island, Kyrie's going to walk away with 2 points. Even if it's an awful shot, he's going to walk away with 2 points. But at the end of the day, that's like all he can do is score. And 24 points is 24 points. Like, you can't get mad at it. It's the whole thing. It's the true reason why I love the Brooklyn Nets to begin with, is because that is the greatest ancillary piece. If you can put everything else around him where he doesn't have to do anything, you have an automatic bucket along with other people that can play well. So we're going to see what's going to happen there. That's going to be a really fun episode to do in like, I don't know, 6 months. I don't see this happening anytime soon. That's around February. We're going to move on with the next person. Calvin, Jalen Brunson, where is he?
Dang it. I was just looking at this. It's just like,
do, 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 do,
do, do. The Knicks?
Yes. Yo, $106 million over the next 4 years. I like Jalen Brunson a lot. I was one of like the first people when he came out of Villanova to really be like, just watching his rookie year with Luke and being like, no, this dude is going to command a lot of money and a lot of attention. And it just so happens that he didn't have his true breakout until this year in the playoffs. I really wish he would have stayed in Dallas, personally. That combination with him and Luka actually gives Luka somebody that he can give the ball to, where it's not just an issue. Now, the fit with the Knicks, however, I don't have a lot to say about this because it's the Knicks. I try not to talk about bad situations because it makes me feel a little icky on the inside. But I'm not sure what this does for them at all outside of, like, big name signing. Big-ish name signing.
I think the idea is that they have, like, an actual legitimately good point guard for real going forward. And, like, that's not to take away from, because hasn't Derrick Rose been there for the last few years? That's not to take away from him, but I think it's just, like, he's not the dude he was when his knees had not been, before his knees had been turned to dust. And, like, he's still a good player, but I don't think he moves, like, he doesn't move the needle in the same way that I think Brunson would at this point. And that ignores the various other issues with the Knicks. The first problem being that they're the Knicks. Right? And Randle didn't play as well last season as he did the season prior. Barrett was pretty good, I want to think. Right? Yeah. They have solid young players. But I think the hope is that, like, Brunson's going to be that point guard going forward. And ultimately, we'll see. But, like, it's the Knicks. I'm only have confidence when they have continued success.
Yeah, no, I'm completely on the same boat as you. The only thing I could really think of where this is, like, effective, they just brought in a dude who's young enough to really be on the same timeline as Barrett, if that's who they think is going to be their dude for the future, along with, like, Cam Reddish, if he ever figures it out, if Cam Reddish is even still with the Knicks. I know I saw some stuff about him earlier in the offseason, which was, like, 2-3 days ago. But, yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. Galvin, our next contestant on Where Is He Now is DeJounte Murray.
Dang it, I just...
All right. I'll give you a hint. Bird. I'll give you another
hint. The Hawks.
Yes. Yeah, you just...
I'm sorry, you said Bird and I thought Celtics. And I'm like, wait, I know he's not a Celtic.
See, that was a good hit, if I misled you any type of way. But yeah, DeJounte Murray partner run up with Trae Young is going to be really interesting. Trae Young is most effective on the ball, at least that's what he showed over the last couple of years. But DeJounte Murray actually needs the ball because he does not shoot that well at this point. So it's good that Trae Young finally has somebody in the backcourt that can defend. I guess Kevin Huerter wasn't enough, but he tried. Again, this is another move that, at the end of the day, does not feel like it moves the needle for the team. Like, we already know they can make it to a play-in game, or at least make it to the playoffs. That's it. They can make it to the playoffs with a guy like DeJounte Murray.
Fairness, I'm not sure how it ends up shaping up for the Hawks. Obviously, Murray is an excellent player, and he's, you know, been on the Spurs, which have not been good the last couple years. This is not to, like, talk mess about, like, the organization or Popovich. It's just, like, the talent collectively hasn't been there, and, like, they're not the top free agency destination or anything, in spite of being an excellent organization and whatnot. So the Spurs, I guess, are just like, Murray is good, but, like, we're not about to win anytime soon. And he probably does have a better shot to be successful in the short term with the Hawks. But, like, the Hawks were also not particularly good last year after a fairly strong showing the year before as well. So we'll see. In the meantime, my understanding is Popovich is gonna have fun coaching this team that's pretty much guaranteed to be garbage.
Yeah. One thing that always kind of has, like, thrown me off with, like, this entire situation is I don't know what they're expecting. Like, I kind of get it with the Spurs, but I also don't. Like, they just seem like they're stacking a bunch of young talent with the Hawks. Outside of their backcourt that's been secured, I don't know anything else about this team that is, like, remarkable. Like, as far as I remember, John Collins still wants to leave. So, so they're in, like, a really tricky situation where it's kind of like, nice move, but you're still middle of the pack.
Okay. For some reason, I wanted to think he'd gotten traded.
Now, he was on the trade block, but we're going to see now. We're going to go ahead and move on to our next contestant. On, where is he now? Calvin, where is Juan Toscano-Anderson?
Lakers.
Yeah. I like the move. I do. One, mainly because he was getting no PT with the Warriors last year. Like, it went from really good story. Everybody, let's look at Juan Toscano-Anderson to him being, like, on the bench and being like, weren't you actually kind of good last year? Like, what happened? Did they? How do you, like, fall out of love with a player that quickly? But I think he'll be effective with the Lakers. Like, they need another defender. And as far as I'm concerned, this is insurance for the always injured Anthony Davis. Like, just on the defensive end. Like, I don't know what he can do offensively to really help this team out outside of finish plays. But defense, the Lakers sucked at it last year.
Didn't they? They sucked at a lot of things last year.
Yeah, they suck at everything. It's the Lakers. Come on, man.
Look, I was trying to be nice.
Why?
I don't know. Yeah, but I think it might, in his case, it might simply have been a case of with, you know, just kind of the ascendance of Poole and Klay Thompson coming back, right? And, like, having Gary Payton on the team. Like, he just kind of got squeezed out of the backcourt rotation more so than maybe they're, like, having a dislike of him, like him falling out of favor, or like him, like some, or like him, like not being good at, like somehow getting worse, like not being good enough to get minutes. It's probably just as simple as there just weren't minutes for him anymore on that team.
But did you peep that you just named a bunch of guards? Juan plays the four.
I'm not gonna lie, I've always thought of him as a guard for some reason. My bad.
Yeah, you're good, man. All right. Calvin, where is Andre Drummond?
Let's see. The Rockets?
No. Same color scheme, though. He is with the Bulls.
Okay, yeah. I think I missed that. It was like I was trying to think, wait, where'd Drummond go? And he's like, my first thing is like, the Pistons? It's like, no, that not the Pistons. It was just like, I don't, fairness, he'll probably be a good backup for them. He was been a pretty good backup before. I don't know. It'll just kind of see, I guess.
Yeah, no, this feels like you just picked up a decent backup big. Congratulations. This does not get you over the hump in any way possible, but it is nice to see that you were trying. Like, I appreciate the effort. You're just going to be back where you are next year, though. Moving on, Calvin, where's Bradley Beal?
He's still with the Wizards and his guarantee that they will suck for the entire time he is there.
Hey, but he's insanely rich, so it's okay, right?
I mean, I guess. I mean, like, if he's cool with it, like, I'm not about to stop him.
Hey, how much does someone have to pay you for you to be mediocre for, and I mean team success-wise, for the rest of your career, which is like 5 more years?
I mean, clearly the answer for him is like a supermax.
Yeah. Calvin, I'm going to be real with you. If somebody gave us $200 million for this podcast, dog, I'd be okay with 7 views.
Yeah.
Every single week.
Yeah, probably. I'm not
gonna produce the podcast gladly, my boy.
But like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if I was a basketball player, though, I would be trying to do a little bit better than mediocre for my career with a fuck ton of money, because I was gonna get a fuck ton of money anyway.
Would you? Realistically speaking, for Bradley Beal, on a contender, is he getting a supermax?
I mean, no. Like, they can't. Like, it's the whole issue of the Supermax to begin with, though, right? The problem with Supermax is that it severely handicaps your team's ability to build a team around you. Like, and that's why it doesn't work as well as like teams had hoped it would for keeping talent there. It's like, yes, you get the bag, but you're basically guaranteed that like you're the eight, you're on the eighth seed now. Yeah. For at best for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. This is a comparison that I feel like nobody makes. And I'm pretty sure we'll get canned for this because they have completely different play styles. But as far as impact goes, Bradley Beal and Kyrie Irving are the same player to me. Bradley Beal, albeit less efficient and minorly less talented, because what Kyrie does is just like, you can't teach that. And if you did teach it, it literally takes having a dad who was almost an NBA player, a godfather who was one of the best finishing guards of all time, and connections to Steve Nash all growing up, which is a triumvirate of like super talented stuff happening that just happens to fall on you while also growing up in like one of the like hotbeds of basketball. Like, that doesn't happen again. And then you have Bradley Beal, super talented, great body, 6'4", really good scorer, but he's from St. Louis, Missouri, where it's not like a ton of talent. But for you to come out of there, you gotta be a dude. He's been a dude his entire like basketball career. It just hasn't accumulated to anything. Like,
so I'm gonna make an argument. On most teams, I would rather have Beal than Irving. Because, right, Beal, and we can check the numbers on this. I suppose it's theoretically possible that I'm wrong. But like, Beal is a much better shooter. I feel like his game is, so while Kyrie is a good, like, number two and whatever, and like, it's worked before, obviously, with LeBron, that in terms of probably ideal spot on like a championship team, Beal is similar to like Klay Thompson in that his game is probably while he might be good enough to be a number one option, his game is better built to be a number two. It's just it's a stylistic thing more than some kind of lack of ability. And like, also, it's keep in mind that some of the issues with lack of success over time of like the Wizards or like any number of other teams is just the fact that like oftentimes front offices have struggled to put the talent around their, you know, their marquee players that they really needed to be as successful as they had hoped to be. And sometimes just like make questionable decisions. Overplaying players and stuff. And I get some level of overpay, but you know, not if it handicaps your team kind of thing. Related note, this is unrelated to what we're talking about, right? Well, it's kind of related. Is there a team somewhere still technically paying Timothy Mozgov?
I think the Lakers are the last people that had their fingers on Timothy Mozgov. And you know, my boy Luol Deng was still getting checks up until like 2 years ago. So
yeah,
they could be.
Okay.
Yeah, they're you know, I would like to have like somebody fully document and probably like make a book that explains the time from when Kobe Bryant, RIP, tore his Achilles to now. Like, this generation of the Lakers is ridiculous. Like, from financial places, from winning, from like culture, like, the ups and the downs, the peaks and the valleys are absolutely ridiculous for this organization. And to me, it's hilarious. But as a fan, I know this has to be like emotionally draining. Like, I can't do it. Like, I took a break from the OKC and they still like fun to watch. I'm just not about to watch it because I don't feel like being stressed out. I remember when we were like amazing. So I can't imagine being like a Lakers fan or remembering when they were good. Like, I can't do that.
Like, I mean, in fairness, I'm pretty sure most Lakers fans can't do it either. But, like, I don't know. I guess, like, the advantage the Lakers have is that they're the Lakers and have deep pockets and are set up in L.A. and they aren't the Clippers. And what that means is that they can, at least for now, right? Because, like, being in a great location has not saved the Knicks. But, like, they can be awful for an extended period of time and still convince some dude to come play, to convince an elite-level player to come play for them because they are the Lakers and they are in L.A. And, like, they can pay through the nose as long as they don't care about luxury tax. And I don't think they've ever cared about luxury tax. But, like, that doesn't stop you from being ass with poor planning. And a lot of Lakers fans are comparative. I feel like compared to a lot of other franchises, their fans are comparatively very bandwagon. At the moment, the only team that's really comparable is Golden State. And that has a lot more to do with, you know, Golden State, Steph Curry, and all the chips in the last decade or so. Whereas, right, the Lakers, you know, had Magic and Kareem and Wilt Chamberlain and Kobe and Shaq and all these players throughout the, like, they have consistently, if not necessarily won constantly, they've been successful on a fairly regular basis. And, you know, success will bring you fans and whatever. That are just like having really exciting players to watch. Kobe would be that young when he was young in particular. So, fairness, I have no idea how it feels to be a Lakers fan. And I'm not going to lie, I'm okay with that. Like, I don't know. Like, the Grizzlies were good for a while, and then we were ass for a couple years, and we were good again, and, like, we were ass.
Galvin, don't you bring the goddamn Grizzlies into this conversation, bro. Like, look, I don't want you guys have a claim to fame of being tough and losing in the Western Conference Finals. Do not compare yourself with what you have going on. Look, because media size, location, and winning culture are all three things that are not comparable to in any way, shape, or form right now. So I'm not going to let you do it.
I mean, like, I don't care shit. It is what it is. I don't care about Lakers fans. I'm not going to act like I do. Like, the only Lakers fans I care about are ones that I know personally. And, like, it is what it is. But what I mean when I say this is just that, like, being good and being trash are just part of how franchises tend to work on average, right? There are teams who, when they play it smart, can potentially avoid this, but it's hard to pull off. The only team I'm aware of who might be able to pull this off at the moment is the Warriors. And, like, that still came with, like, being garbage for like 2 years and just picking Willie, and even then picking well in the draft. And, like, again, the thing that the Lakers can be terribly run and still be a good franchise in spite of itself.
I feel like you can't be both. You can't be a good franchise and be terribly run. Like, you can have good things come from a bad situation, but you can't be poorly run and good. Like that's,
this is your reminder that like the Lakers were ass when LeBron decided to sign with them.
They still suck. They won one chip, but they still suck. They still suck. Realistically, yeah, with LeBron being there every single time, still suck. And Calvin, we got to get back to the show with inside the show. But before we do, I do need to understand how good we are at making content. Did you see how we got Lakers and Kyrie in the same conversation without actually sending him to the Lakers? Bro, we so cold at this. But let's go ahead and move on. Calvin, Kyle Anderson, slow-mo, where is he now?
Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to save the biggest piece of what's going on with the Timberwolves. Actually, we're just going to go ahead and jump. Because Kyle Anderson's not big enough fish to fry. He's just a cool name that I was hoping you guys didn't know.
He's kind of fun.
Calvin, where is Rudy Gobert?
Your audio kind of cut out. But to answer your question, he's also in Minnesota.
Yeah. So how do you feel about that trade? Because I am still on the fence about...
I cannot hear you. Oh, hold up. That's on my end. Okay, give me a second.
Okay.
Cut this part out. Hooray for technical difficulties.
Right? Best part of the podcast.
You don't need to do anything. This is on my end. I don't know why it's doing it.
All right. Hear me?
Okay, there we're back.
All right. We're back. Give me one quick second. We'll start at 10. All right. Fuck. Where did we leave off?
Go
back. You just said, okay. We'll start at 20. Yeah, so Calvin, how do you feel about the trade overall? Because I personally like it. I think this gives them like the defensive edge that they actually need. They are giving up some pieces that I also like for them. Like, I like Jared Vanderbilt. He's super solid as a backup four who can also play a little bit of five. I've always liked Malik Beasley. Wings like that are always going to be in style for like, especially right now for what we're doing. The five first round picks is kind of crazy for a franchise who has been crappy for years. Now, they might never ever have to use like lottery picks considering they got Anthony Edwards. I think if you got him, you got Cat, and you got like a third dude, they're always going to be playoff teams where you're probably picking around in the 20s anyway. But, Just shine some light on what you think about this, because
I'm not gonna lie, I'm not sure. Like, I'm gonna say this. I don't think it's some kind of awful decision. But like you said, all those first round picks gave a lot of pieces that like I'm not sure if like getting rid of them was necessarily the best idea unto itself. But, like, Gobert is one of the best defenders in the league. And he, like you said, he adds a lot to their defense. He doesn't add much to their offense, but, like, they don't need him to. They just need him to get rebounds and block shots. Yeah. Trying to get to the rim on them will be interesting. Yeah. I'll say that.
Well, we talked about this in the group chat. I think he messes up the spacing. Like, Cat has already showed that he can shoot well from the perimeter. He can even create in like the mid post. So you got a little bit of room for Anthony Edwards to do what he does best, and that's dunk on people, or at least get to the rim. Mm-hmm. Rudy Gobert is literally going to drag their big man in the fray, like. And that's fine because Anthony Edwards is disrespectful and will just put his nuts on the top of that man's face. But that's going to just like inevitably slow stuff and clog the lane up. Like, there are certain franchises that every time they make a move, even if it seems like a good move, I look twice at it. Minnesota is always going to be a franchise I look twice at about whatever they do, because they just haven't. They haven't done anything substantial in what, 40 years of being a team?
Their only like really good seasons basically involved Kevin Garnett or like that one season of Jimmy Butler. Yeah. Unless I'm forgetting someone.
And I'm gonna be that dude. If you consider barely getting to the playoffs, like you literally won the last game of the season to get into the playoffs as a good year, that's a telltale sign that you are a very bad franchise. Like nothing they've ever did makes me happy and or excited about basketball in Minnesota. And they are the reason why. Like they're like, I want to know how long their front office has been there and if it's the same people that was there during like Kevin Garnett era. Because if it is, please just fire them. Like this has to be like a family owned operation, because there's no reason why you're bad for like almost 40 years. Like that's institutional at that point.
Oh no, it definitely is. I don't really have answers for you, because like pretty much all the dudes that they had that mattered did better on other teams, or like had more success on other teams, which I don't really have the answers for that. But as far as I can tell, the closest they're going to get to like ending that is Anthony Edwards. And like, I feel like there might be a legit concern that like Gobert's contract might throw that off somewhat. Now I'm thinking about it out loud, because okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but a Supermax is still a Supermax, even if like you get traded, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so like, you know, the money's gonna come due. And like, of course they're gonna try and pay Edwards, and I'm pretty sure Towns is on a long-term deal already. Like that's not an immediate concern. But there's still what, D'Angelo Russell, and like y'all still have and they still have to find a bench for these dudes to play with. And I don't know, shoot.
No, I get it. Like this is a baffling decision.
Also, it occurs to me that I'm pretty sure Gobert would be the closest thing to a veteran on this squad. Like, would be the veteran on this squad. Yeah. And, like, Anthony Edwards is in charge now. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I love Anthony Edwards. Yeah. This is the person who needs to... My bad. I was about to say who needs to step up. That man is naturally just going to step up. Like, that's what Anthony Edwards does. When he is there, the show is his. With that being said, that man like 21. I do not have a lot of faith in franchises that are led by dudes that like are just now able to drink. Like you still got a lot of dumb tendencies. And I'm not saying that as like you as a person. I mean, you just don't know like the full game of basketball yet. You're wildly talented. You can get a lot of stuff done, but we're not sure exactly what level of superstar or star we're dealing with Anthony Edwards. Like, there is a boomer bust that happens with him. And I'm talking about not him as like a player. I'm talking about him as like franchise anchor. Because they can either be like, hey, we're going to make it to the second round of the playoffs for the next 5 years. Or they can be like, we're going to be really fun to watch. And there is a huge difference in either one. And I vote Minnesota comes to Kansas City, because I think a change of scenery would help them out a lot. And Kansas City fans is enough for, like, assholes and like diehard fans where you got to make something right eventually. At least that's what I keep telling myself, because We're not even going to talk about
it. You just want an NBA franchise there that, like, is still there. Because they had one at some point way back.
Sacramento oldest franchise. I don't care what nobody say.
Okay.
Calvin. That's
where it went. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Where is he now, Lou Dort?
Isn't he still with the Thunder?
Yeah, they re-upped him. I like Lou Dort a lot. Like, back in my reporter days, one of the first articles I ever wrote was a piece talking about, like, five prospects that I really think that the Thunder needed to draft. And Lou Dort was, like, number one on that list because you need a big defensive guard. And that's all you really needed at the top. That fits the mold of OKC. You know, they always have that one non-offensive player on the court that can't do anything besides lock up. But Lou Dort learned how to shoot, like, in the bubble, and it's, like, been progressing ever since. I'm fine with him. I know they're talking about, like, when you, like, basically whatever they're on right now, their timeline is literally 2026. Nobody on that roster realistically is ready to play big boy ball outside of, like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Everybody else waiting in the wings. I guess we got to shout out to Chet Holmgren. I'll see you in, like, 2026. So it is really good to see that they have that. But a dude like Lou Dort is going to be a great veteran for those guys. Like, he is, like, the elder statesman there, even though he's only been in the league, like, 6 years. So it's going to be, like, a really interesting thing to see how it plays out, if they even keep him. His deal's not too bad, so if they wanted to trade him, like, put a package together for, like, a superstar later on, definitely could. But we shall see. We're going to move on. Calvin, where is he now? PJ Tucker.
Dude. I actually don't know this one. I'm going to take a guess. Indiana.
Numbers. I'll give you a guess. Numbers.
Oh. Well, like, you already told me now, 76ers.
I did? Damn. But yeah, no, I kind of like this fit with the 76ers. Again, like, defender.
I mean, Tucker works with most teams, though, I think.
Yeah, that's why I like the fit. Like, just big, burly defender that you can just throw at somebody, which is always good. Hey, and realistically speaking, that dude is one of the great mercenaries in the NBA right now. Like, wherever he goes, his team is going to compete. He's going to have a solid role. And his role is really conducive to the way that team plays and wins. Because he's that good of a defender. Like, the shot's not really there anymore. But he's going to help you. And, like, we're going to see what 76ers do. But I like this. I like this a lot. All right. Where is he now, JaVale McGee?
Crap. I'm going to say the Kings. I'm like 90% sure it's not the Kings.
Ooh, no. I'm going to give you a hint. The colors are blue, black, and white. The colors are blue, black, and white. I'll give you another hint. The horses.
The horses?
The horses.
Oh, the Pistons. Wait, no. Dang it. Look, just give me the answer.
The Dallas Mavericks. Come on, man.
Look. I didn't pay attention to the McGee one. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey, we lose one lovable giant and we get another one back in JaVale McGee. Good for defense. Really is. Again, just a Boban replacement. Like, starting to back up center at this point does not move the needle. Like, they're literally right back where they were at the end of the offseason. which is, you know, if you make it to Western Conference Finals, that might be a good thing. We'll see going forward. Calvin, where is he now? Bobby Portis.
He's still with the Bucks, isn't he?
He is. He resigned.
Yeah.
All right. Malik Monk.
Charlotte?
No. I'll give you a hint. They stole our franchise.
Oh, the Kings.
Yeah, yeah. Great to see the Kentucky duo in backcourt back together. But again, the Kings are another franchise that every time they make a move, I am like, I don't care. Like, they have not given me any reason to ever value anything that they do. And this is not a knock on you, Malik Monk. Like, you deserve to be in the league. You have a place here. You are a good off-the-bench scorer who can just kind of pop in, give you some microwave, and play a little bit of defense. Everything else that happens from there, I'm blaming the Sacramento Kings, bro. Like, I don't care if it's win, lose, draw, you had the worst year of your career, it's the Kings' fault. Never going to blame you. Trust me. Moving on. This is a really big one in our last one of the Where Is He Now game, and that is Malcolm Brogdon.
Is he not still with the Pacers?
He is not. He got traded recently.
Crap.
Would you like a hint?
Let's see. Who needed a point guard? Hold up. No, not yet. Clippers.
Incorrect. Would you like a hint? Crap.
Just tell me.
Oh, come on. You're no fun. He's playing for the Celtics now. Come on, man.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Celtics needed a point guard. Malcolm Brogdon was open, and I've never seen such a player-heavy trade for someone who is not an all-star. Like, the Celtics gave away a lot of pieces that were semi-important.
They didn't give away anybody that was – did they, though? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but if memory serves, looking at that trade, they didn't give up anybody that was getting real minutes.
So, the last few people that are part of the trade did not have serious minutes. But Daniel Tice got probably about like 15 to 20 minutes a game during the playoffs. Aaron Naismith at some point fell out of the rotation, but he was there at the beginning of the playoffs. Probably like 15 minutes or so. And then we go to dudes like Nick Stauskas, who is a dude that came back to the league at like the end of the year, basically, where it's kind of like, wow, they picked you up just in case they needed to do something else. Malik Fitz, never heard of Malik Fitz. Had no idea he was even on the roster. Oklahoma State great Juwan Morgan, did not know he was still in the league. And then they gave away a first round pick. So it's like a bunch of dudes that don't exactly move the needle, but Aaron Naismith is young enough to like turn into something else. Nick Stauskas, he can shoot. He went to Michigan, being nice. But I really think it's that 2023 first-round pick that does a little bit more. That 2023 draft, we'll see, especially when college basketball starts. If you even get like a – you're picking 25th, there's a chance that you got a really good rotation player coming in. So, like, that's worth giving up Malcolm Brogdon, especially when you got so many people in your front court. And I'm speaking for the Pacers in this situation. Like, they're going to be solid and fine without Malcolm Brogdon, and also continue to suck a little bit so they can get somebody else. So draft capital and like shaving a little bit of money off the books, but they like weirdly gutted themselves for a point guard who isn't exactly known for anything crazy outside of like having size for the position and playing solid defense. So again, we'll see how all this transpires in like 2 months when the actual basketball starts again. Yeah. But guys, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Traveling Hoopers. Guys, we will be doing themed shows all the way until preseason, where we can like pretend like we care about the basketball that is being played. But of course, November something is when the league actually starts and we'll be back in full force. Until then, we'll be in very floral shirts until the season is back together. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, I have been your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr. And in front of me is my good friend, Calvin McGowan. Calvin, go ahead and sign out for us.
Once again, everybody, I'm Calvin McGowan. Thank you for joining us once again for another episode of the Traveling Hooper podcast. You can listen to us wherever you listen to your podcast. If you're joining us on YouTube, like, share, subscribe, leave something in the comments. And I am actually really happy that Kennedy Chandler got drafted to the guy, like, is on the Grizzlies. But that's a separate discussion. Enjoy the rest of your week.